We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning, Diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on!
Good morning, and a happy pre-dawn, happy 5 a.m. Monday to everyone driving into work right now, or just being done with a crazy weekend in which some reason they're
more power to you.
Driving home at 5 in the morning on a Monday.
Hope you're staying safe. Be safe. Hope you had a good weekend. Let's get the weekend off right.
We need to get the weekend off. Yeah, the week. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But you know what? Some people, you know, it's funny though. There are people that as soon as I leave for work at this time, they're like, oh, you know, we have a good day tomorrow. It's like, no, dude, it's a new day.
Right.
It's a new day. We're started off. And though I know the sun's not up yet. We're ready.
Right. Isn't it weird that we don't see the sun for a solid... I mean, we're up for probably 5-6 hours and we just don't even see the sun. Are you used to that at this point?
Yeah, that part I'm used to. I mean, 5 to 6 hours. I'm still not used to that 2:45 wake-up call.
Right.
But, yeah, seeing the sun at this time of day, I'm not worried about it at this point. I've been doing this 5 years now.
I'm just not used to daylight in general anymore.
Oh, no, no. I love my daylight. I just realize how much more awake I am when I get up. It's like, oh, there's sun outside.
Yeah.
I feel so much more awake right now.
Isn't it great?
Don't worry. Y'all understand out there on the road.
Yeah. So yesterday, look, all right, so we talked about let's get the week off on the right note. Well, really, yesterday we have nothing, I mean, but negativity that happened, and that's coming out of Raiders camp. We're going to discuss that. Also, we got the 49ers and the Broncos tonight. That is a positive that we can also talk about. We got a couple of sound bites to play for you. One from this kid who wrote Chris Davis of the Orioles.
I cried.
Of course you did.
Of course.
He wrote him a letter, but we're going to try and make it a little fun because there's a sound bite that happened earlier in the season during spring training that it was from a young Yankees fan, and I kind of want to just juxtapose the two. And we also got some sound from Jerry Jones, which fooled quite a lot of people, actually. There was just a soundbite that came out from Jerry Jones about Ezekiel Elliott, but really not everyone heard the entire thing. So I'd want to play that for you going forward. But the first thing we got to discuss, though, is this Antonio Brown issue. And we've all known what's been going on with him. First, it was the feet, the whoopee cushion feet.
Oof.
And then the helmet news along with the bill from Florida, which the $38,000, I think, was the bill. The
I forgot about
bill.
That one, yeah.
Yeah, so there's that kind of slipped under the cracks. Don't know whether it's true or not because anything seems to be coming out about this guy. But right now, here's the thing. This is the helmet situation, and it's continued. And if you haven't heard the news, Mike Mayock spoke yesterday after Antonio Brown did not show up to practice because the NFL rejected that loophole that he found when he had to find a shut air advantage for that is less than 10 years old. And he found one, I think, from 2014. That's when his helmet was from, and he found one that really could get past the guidelines, but the NFL basically just said no.
It's not safe.
And then Antonio Brown did not show up to practice. Mike Mayock spoke afterwards, and he said, here's the bottom line. He's upset about the helmet issue. We've supported that. We appreciate that. But at this point, we've pretty much exhausted all avenues of relief. So from our perspective, it's time for him to be all in or all out.
He delivered the ultimatum.
He delivered it. And you know what? I mean, right now, this is when media speculation is over. Now, we didn't know whether it was true or not that he said he'd retire if the NFL didn't let him, if they didn't let him use the helmet. We don't know if really he would file a lawsuit against the NFL if somehow he gets hurt with these new mandated helmets. And Chilton Autobody, text line 957-95, 888-957-9570 if you want to get in on the conversation. But right now, Anna, the media speculation is done. It's over with. It is coming from the horse's mouth right now, and that horse is Mike Mayock.
Yeah, just the fact that they've gotten to this point, it's their breaking point right now. They have all these guys who have committed, and I apologize, I actually interrupted you here, that he went on to say that they have 89 guys who are busting their tails out there. And that just goes to show you, they're working with a lot of great guys, young players who are really hungry to play. And they're saying, look, if Antonio Brown doesn't want to get on the field, we're not going to waste our time.
Right.
And that's, to me, that's so sad because I wanted to see him get on the field. I wanted to see him out there connecting with Derek Carr. And I know Derek Carr wants to see him out there because he's only going to add to this offense. You have a true number one quarterback with a true number one wide receiver
right. Who
has an amazing talent who should be able to put this team over the top on offense. And if he's not going to come out there, everything that they've done, it's just sad at the end of the day that it had come to this. I do wonder, though. Now, I am thinking, and maybe it's because of the world that we live in with reality TV and anything, what's the likelihood that this is to help ratings with Hard Knocks? Is there any bit of this?
Well, see, there's the interesting question because I don't know if that's necessarily from the Raiders' perspective because
right. The
Raiders couldn't give a damn about the ratings on Hard Knocks. They don't want to be on Hard Knocks. But does the NFL want higher ratings mm-hmm. on Hard Knocks? Maybe. Maybe. Maybe the NFL and HBO are in cahoots to get higher ratings. But really, this just seems like this is not as fabricated of a story as these reality shows are. You know, this seems like a truly real thing.
And like, he was actually like this. We saw what he was like in the offseason when he was trying to get out of the Steelers.
Right.
To get traded away from them. So I think it is his personality and everything that he's gone through. And
the higher ratings on Hard Knocks could have something to do with it. But also Antonio Brown, with that whole situation with the Steelers and the fact that he didn't show up for a game and then for the last game of the season, really, to make or break playoffs, the fact that he didn't show up for that, the fact that he used social media so that he could basically get out of whatever the Steelers were about to give him the next season because clearly he didn't feel like whatever he was going to get paid wasn't worth enough and whatever they were going to extend him wasn't worth enough. So he just felt like using social media and using his own power really to dictate where he was going to go. And he didn't know which team exactly, but just away from the Steelers is where that power would dictate it. And that was one of the first examples we've seen, like we've seen in the NBA, where all the power is kind of shifted toward the players and their decisions and the fact that the NBA lets these players have power. The NFL doesn't necessarily let these players have mm-hmm. all the power. They kind of like to keep these guys in line, I guess, is something to say. But I really think that when they see what Antonio Brown did last season and seeing what he's doing with this helmet stuff now, they probably said they weren't okay with the loophole that he found. I'm going to assume that the NFL wasn't okay with that. And they're probably just like, look, like, we can't let this guy just dictate whatever he wants to do. We are going to make him go along with the 2,000 players that have worn this helmet and are fine with it. We are going to make him just at least realize, hey, you got to play by the rules. And really, at first, I mean, I was trying to look at it from Antonio Brown's perspective, and really it was just straight up from a comfortability thing. It was hey, I can't see like I can't yeah. see the same out of this helmet. I don't know necessarily what it's like looking out of these newer helmets compared to the ones that he used previously, but for me, I'm thinking of it like this. Like in my Subaru Outback, right, mm-hmm. when I look in my blind spot, I'm used to what I'm seeing in my blind spot because I've been driving this car my entire life ever since I got my license. I've driven this Subaru Outback and I'm used to looking in my blind spot. I'm used to the vision. But when I drove, say, my friend's Chrysler 300 once when he needed me to drive, I'm looking out the blind spot. It's not the same. And it might not have been set up badly, but I'm just so used to looking out the blind spot of my Subaru Outback that looking out of that Chrysler 300, my friend's Chrysler 300, it's like, that's not the same. I don't like that. I want to go back to my Subaru so I can actually look in my blind spot and see.
But you can adjust.
Right.
That's the difference, though, that you can adjust. It's going to take some time, but you can do it. You can still drive the car. You can still get out on the road and do what you need to do, go from point A to point B.
Right. And so he's going to have to now. Because here's the thing, Anna. What else is he going to do? Really, that's just the thing. What is he going to do? He said earlier, or he said after the game two, after game two against the Cardinals, he asked reporters and asked the media to, hey, stop putting fake reports out about me because I do not want my family worrying about my future. Y'all said that I wanted to retire, and he's like, I never said that. You just made my family think I was going to retire, and you made me contact them. So please stop putting this stuff out so that my family will stop worrying about me, really, so my family doesn't have to hear it from you guys and then have to contact me. Like, I don't want that. And we totally understood that. So now that the NFL has rejected this new helmet that he's going to bring up, what's he going to do? He's not going to get traded to a new team. I don't think another team's going to give him this. I mean, they're not going to just pay for this contract that he's given by the Raiders when he was traded for a third and a fifth round pick. Like, they're not. He's not just going to get traded to a new team. So it seems like it's either play or what you're just going to sit out the season. Like, there's really, it just doesn't seem like there's any other option at this point. Antonio Brown just needs to, it's kind of hypocritical that I'm going to just say, hey, you need to man up and use the helmets that are mandated to you. But look, man, at this point, it seems like he's got no other option.
Looks like he's not done, though. His agent, Drew Rosenhaus, came out and said, we have worked very closely with the Raiders and will continue to work very closely with the Raiders. I'm not sure we agree that we've exhausted all the options, as Mike Mayock said, but there's no doubt it's still an ongoing process. We are trying to work with the team in the league and the union on a solution. We haven't figured that out yet. It's not done.
No, it's not. This put a bad name on the Raiders, which clearly are just a team of, like, ever since they traded Khalil Mack, it's just been, quite frankly, they've just been that team that's sort of been the one that's more dysfunctional than most in the NFL. I mean, we can name a few out there, but really it's just, it seems like the Raiders are the ones that have been going most downhill since then. And this Antonio Brown thing, John Gruden and Derek Carr need to be, I'm sure they're on the phone right now. Like, look, Antonio, we brought you here so that you could at least soothe the sting of that Khalil Mack trade, because that still stings on Raider fans, and it will sting for a very long time for Raider fans out here. Maybe forever. But they brought in Antonio Brown, one of the best wide receivers we've seen in the past decade, just so that he can at least soothe that pain a little bit. You know, like, put the cream on the scratch, kind of ease it up a little bit. Don't let it get infected. You know what I mean? And I know, sorry to paint that little picture for you, but it's just Gruden and Carr need to be on the phone right now and just say, hey, man, we brought you in here because we need a true number one. We traded away Amari Cooper. We went out and got you. We paid you all this money. We need you out here. And they are probably on the phone with him right now. And you're going to tune into Hard Knocks tomorrow, aren't you?
100%. Are you kidding me? Of course. And I think when they ended it originally, it was, you know, getting ready for Antonio Brown to get back to camp. It's like, oh, we're ready. I mean, we have what we said till Tuesday at 2:45 to get any last minute edits in.
Right, right.
So we're going to have all the latest juicy gossip.
You know what? It seems like Hard Knocks is the only, like, real source of information now regarding this stuff.
Well, Mayock did come out now. So the fact that he came out and said all this,
right,
the fact that he addressed it, I mean, it goes to show you how upset they are over this. And here's my question now for Raider fans. Are you happy with them getting Antonio Brown now? What do you think about this decision? Because as we see from the 9-1-2, there was a reason the 49ers passed on AB.
Right.
You know, they're feeling happy about it. Raider fans, how are you feeling right now? Are you happy that the Raiders went after Antonio Brown? Do you regret the decision? Or are you still like, hey, you know, I'm excited for the chance. I still want to see him week one against Denver. I still think he's going to be out there. How are you feeling?
And also, I mean, it's not even from the 9-1-2. It's a good point. And it's not even just the reason the Niners passed on AB. It's a reason that 30 of these other teams also passed on Antonio Brown. 29, I guess, for if we're taking out the Steelers, the Niners, and the Raiders. But
right.
So, I mean, that's really that's where you know that's where the problem lies. Really, is just would this happen if? I mean, it probably would happen if this were with any other team, and but I don't think there's really no – like, John Gruden envisioned the drama, but he didn't envision this. Like, not this type –
I don't think anybody could have.
Not this type of drama. They understood the personality stuff and you know, maybe just not showing up to training camp. That sort of stuff they could deal with, but when something is going – like, when something is becoming more toward, like – more of a problem towards the NFL in general, not just with the team, like personally with the Raiders, but this is actually has to do with the league. I don't think they envisioned more drama happening with the league because the drama that he went through, that was happening with the Steelers and the Steelers alone, and they couldn't handle it. The Raiders figured, all right, if there's drama that goes on within the team, we can handle it within the team. But when it goes to the NFL and when this actually becomes an NFL issue, that's what I don't think the Raiders envision. But we'll continue to discuss this on the other side. Chilton Autobody text line 95795 888-957-9570. Do you think Antonio Brown will actually be in the silver and black come week one? Do you want him there by week three in the preseason when normally that's when they play all the starters and they grab their bearings? Because week four is obviously when all the rookies play and that's when everyone's playing for their jobs. And it's really actually it's an underrated part because people are playing hard and just trying to compete for their livelihood. So I think week four is just kind of an underrated thing, but that's just me going off on a little tangent. But we'll continue to discuss this. Jerry Jones's comments on Ezekiel Elliott. Plus, we got the 49ers and the Broncos tonight. What we want to look for with Jimmy Garoppolo, the wide receivers, all of that coming up. Stephen Lankford, Anna Kanaki's in on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Lankford and Anna Kakadakis.
Stephen Lankford, Anna Kakadakis in with you as the pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with our product experts. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for dates and more information as we are reacting to this Antonio Brown news because it is no longer media speculation. Mike Mayock has officially come out and basically said, Antonio, you're either all in or you're all out when it comes to this team. And real quick, Anna, I just wanted to get this out there from the 650 on the Chilton Autobody text line. You texted us about 18 minutes ago, but we weren't able to get to the text. But from the 650, shout out, congrats to Stockton's own Nate Diaz for his win over Showtime Pettis. And ended up watching those fights over the weekend. And I mean, that one between Daniel Cormier and Stipe Miocic was solid over there in Anaheim. So, yeah, congrats to Nate Diaz and also for being one of the best. I mean, he doesn't say much, but when he speaks, he speaks volumes when he speaks. He was asked after the fight.
What did he say after?
Oh, there were multiple things that he just said. He basically said right after the fight when Joe Rogan was interviewing him, he basically said that the reason that he's been gone for these 3 years is because everyone sucks and he doesn't have anyone to compete against. So there's that. And then his actual post-fight press conference where they had like the entire media there, he asked if you just had I believe it was a daughter. So he's asking if being a father changed your approach to the game. And then he just basically said, I've been fathering all these mother bleepers my entire career.
Oh my God, that's so great. That's so great.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
He gave a shout out to Stockton at the end and made Dallas Braden proud. Dallas Braden, of course, the 209 mayor, as he calls himself on Instagram. He posted Nate Diaz and everything. So that was kind of a cool moment.
So where would Nate Diaz be if you have Dallas Braden as the mayor? What's Nate Diaz?
Oh, man.
His role?
Is there such like a
There's a vice mayor.
I mean, is sheriff a high? Is that a high enough rank
I guess you could say
just
that.
Just the strong man.
You know what? Yeah, because you know
general.
You're patrolling.
Yeah.
You're right. The strong man.
The
you know,
Stockton general,
laying down
maybe.
The law.
The general.
I like that. That's a good one. The sheriff.
Yeah.
The sheriff of the 209. Really good. By the way, another text on Chill Not a Body text line from the 408. If we're... This in reference to Antonio Brown. If we're giving up my first round pick, I would be upset. But we gave up a third and a fifth round pick, which really doesn't bother me too much.
Right, and I think that really that's what the saving grace is for Raider. Like Raider fans, they need to find a silver lining in anything right now with this situation. And I think the fact that they got him for a third and fifth round pick maybe just showed that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if from the 912, when we read that before the break, we said that, you know, he's glad that his Niners didn't pick up Antonio mm-hmm. Brown. I mean, I don't even know if he was really like on their radar. He was on every single team's radar because any team could use a wide receiver like that. And Kyle Shanahan just came out and basically said, like, we have a set of rules and a set of standards here. And Antonio Brown just simply... I don't know if he'd adhere to those rules.
I think they talked about it very briefly.
Right.
Like Antonio Brown, yeah, I think we're going
to
hold off.
It was fun to speculate about it because he's one of the better wide receivers that we've seen. But, I mean, in the end, though, it's like and I don't think many teams really wanted him. A third and a fifth rounder for that guy, it's like that's – I didn't really expect that when the trade went down. But now seeing this – the helmet issue, the fact that he's not getting the shut air advantage that he wants.
Yeah.
I am so glad that I have not said that name wrong yet on the radio. A shut air advantage.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, gotta be careful about that.
I just continue to say it. But Anna, a question we kind of posed at the break together is, I mean, when it comes down to fantasy football, at what point do you draft this guy? Do you even – because, look, wide receivers, I did a couple of mock drafts already because I'm a loser. And, basically, wide receivers, they're thin. And when
Especially you, number ones.
And you're going with a – if you got a league that could be – if you're in a league that's just – if you don't have a flex and you got three wide receivers and two running backs, hell, I mean, if you have two wide receivers and three running backs because, I mean, why would you do that? But if you have three wide receivers and two running backs, like – I think I'd take a chance on that guy. I mean, if he's available, first two rounds is normally when he's gone in the past.
He's normally done in top 10 half the time,
right.
Usually. I mean, he's way up there at the top. But I posted it yesterday actually on Twitter saying, you know, would you draft Antonio Brown in fantasy football this season? If yes, what round? And I'll be honest, I'm also asked because last year I got burned by Le'Veon Bell. He came out and apologized this year, but, you know, it doesn't help me with my league last year,
yeah.
Le'Veon. But I did post it up there, got some really interesting responses. Also, Brad Evans, the GOAT on Yahoo Noise, he said, all this bad pub has pushed his ADP into round three of many 12-team leagues. Worth the risks attached.
Interesting.
Third round. I mean, that's a drop right there. That type of talent. I mean, I definitely consider him third round.
I think overall it would be worth it because if he does get on the field, look, I really – you don't know how he's going to do with a new quarterback completely just because he's been with Ben Roethlisberger in his entire career and they know, I mean, where each other's going to be. They understand, like, they understand where he's going to throw – he understands where Ben's going to throw the ball. He understood – the routes to run and the specific options that Ben might want him taking on certain coverages. But Derek Carr, like, he hasn't had any sort of practice with him. I mean, if he comes out week one, say he does come out week one, this all blows over. And, you know, because I don't think he has any other option. He says he's not going to retire. He says, like, that was his thing. He says he wants to play football because he loves football.
And he doesn't get the money either.
Right.
If he doesn't play, I think, what is it, a $1 million signing bonus is all he gets?
Yeah.
So, I mean, how much is he leaving on the table? Is it $21 million, something like that?
$20 million. Yeah. So, you know what? Like, really, there's no other option to me. And I think he will get on the field in week one simply because there's nothing else you can do except play. Because this helmet thing, in the end, hopefully John Gruden's just like, on the phone right now, and it's like, this is really stupid, man. I need you on the field. You're a good player. Good player. But, like,
he wants to know where his friend is.
Right.
He wants to know where he
is. Exactly. And so right now I do see him being on the field for week one, but I mean, do you think that just if him and Derek Carr seem to get no practice time together, they've had a little bit, like they threw together when, you know, as soon as Antonio Brown got traded, they were, you know, throwing passes together without any defenders, without any other teammates there, just them two, whatever that means. So they're kind of used to each other in a way. Like, not, they haven't had just zero practice at all. They've had at least had some work together. But in week one, say Antonio Brown's back, do you think that he can just immediately pick up where he's left off as one of the better wide receivers that we've seen? Or do you think it's actually going to take some work if they don't get any practice in within the next two preseason games, rather?
I think with him, it's going to be, there'll be a little bit of growing pains, but Antonio Brown is such a great talent that I think that you just basically throw the ball his way, he'll be able to get it.
Right.
So it's going to come down to Derek Carr being able to execute in the end. So that's where I think it would work out. But
yeah.
But look, there is things like when it comes to certain plays, you know, being able to call certain plays and then seeing if they can actually execute it and, you know, making sure you're running the right routes. So, you know, say if he's running the wrong route, could there be frustration all of a sudden if there isn't chemistry? Would that make it worse? How would that hurt them in the long run? So
yeah, it ups the pressure on Derek Carr for sure to just. I mean, that's really, in the end, that's what it comes down to. And I mean, Antonio Brown's going to go out there and he's going to run routes, and you don't expect him. I mean, obviously he's going to run routes. He's a wide receiver, but when he does run these routes, even if it's wrong, he's going to think that he's in the right because
exactly.
It's Antonio Brown. So it's going to be up to Derek Carr really it's just the pressure's elevated on Derek Carr now. And we're going to see it going forward in Hard Knocks. I'm actually really looking forward to what goes on Tuesday because, like I said, I kind of wanted to elaborate on this last point. I didn't really do that. I kind of just glazed over it. But Hard Knocks is really the only true source of information I feel like that we have right now because today and tomorrow, by what, 2:45?
2:45.
2:45 tomorrow. This type of story is one that can spur clickbait. This is the type of thing where reporters are like, all right, any hint of news that I can get, I'm going to get it out there so I can get my name out there and get clicks. Mm-hmm. And this is, and so right now, I don't know what to believe because you remember when the guy from Pittsburgh radio said the Raiders have had no idea where Antonio Brown is. And when you just hear that audio, you're thinking, okay, so they lost him? Like, no one can get in contact with him. And then you see Hard Knocks and you realize he showed up to camp. He showed up to Napa, basically said, hey, he can't go because of his foot. And they gave him permission to leave. And maybe they didn't know where he was after that because he's not just telling them where he's at all times. But they at least knew, like, hey, yeah, he came to camp. His foot was hurt and he can't go. He's not going to be at practice today. They're like, all right, whatever. That's fine. He can leave. And they basically gave him permission to leave. And so you're seeing that story and you're just thinking, they legit don't know where he is or anything like that. I wouldn't be surprised if we see another story like that in the next, I don't know what, 36 hours?
Yeah. I mean, well, look, here's the other thing. When people say sources, you know, sources close to the team, a source could be like an assistant coach or somebody else, like way down, like a scout or somebody else who may not be in the know of like the bigger picture of what's going on. So it could be like, yeah, I have no idea where he is. It's like, oh,
yeah,
I don't know where he is right
now.
Where John Gruden knows exactly where he is.
Right.
So that's the difference. So who are you asking?
Right.
So that's the difference when you say who's your source.
Right.
Because they're not saying who their source is right now.
And it feels like Hard Knocks is really the only source that we have right now.
Yeah. And the other thing, people weighing in on the text line saying, oh, you know, how are you saying that, you know, the 49ers don't need him? It's like, no. Nobody said the 49ers didn't need that talent. The difference is right now because as Kyle Shanahan said nobody's like stood out from the wide receiver core unit, their unit there, but they are trying to build a chemistry on this team and they did not want to put up with the personality issues.
Right. And there's just certain things that come with building a team for the future. And sometimes adding a guy like Antonio Brown, it can be pretty risky. And we're seeing it right now. The Raiders felt like they were at that point where, look, Amari Cooper's gone. They couldn't make it work. And now we need this guy to come in and make an impact immediately. But
and John Gruden loves his veterans.
He loves the veterans, and he loves himself some Antonio Brown. I mean, I can't really remember any specifics off the top of my head watching Monday Night Football, but I really would love to go back and watch these Steeler games because I actually did a ton of research when John Gruden came to the Raiders just to see the amount of which how many Monday night football games each team had mm-hmm. in the span that he was in the booth. The Steelers had the most. So
he got a lot of
Antonio Brown looks when he was there, when he wasn't talking about, you know, offensive guard pulls from the Falcons. Oh, that's the best block I ever seen.
Hey, he and Jack Del Rio swapped. You see Jack Del Rio is going to be
Jack
on ESPN
Del Rio,
now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That could be interesting. Curious to see if they actually ask him any questions about the Raiders and his departure, because it did seem kind of sudden after that last game when he's just like, all right, well, I will no longer be with the team next year. Great hair, though, by the way. Great hair. So shout out to ESPN.
Shout out Hayward.
For getting, yeah, shout out Hayward. Shout out, what is it, Val's Burgers, I think is his
yes,
favorite
one. Yes, I love that place.
Shout out Val's.
So good.
And, I mean, ESPN, the all-hair squad. They got good hair over there at ESPN. All right, so we're going to get into some 49ers and Broncos, as well as we continue to discuss this Antonio Brown story, because it's the biggest thing going on in the NFL right now. Could get to Ezekiel Elliott's sound from Jerry Jones, as well as the sound from the kid who wrote a letter to Chris Davis of the Orioles, who was in a slump to start out the season. So we'll discuss all of that next. Stephen Langford, Anna Kaibak, he's in on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kakadakis.
Stephen Langford and Anna Kakadakis in with you as the pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with our product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information.
We're going to bring in our commercial topic in.
And I really like the movie My Date with the President's Daughter.
That was Will Friedle from Boy Meets World. We got into that. I used to love that show.
Yeah. Played it like that was back to, you could tell it was really 90s also. I think it was actually like really early 2000s, if not the 90s. But it was they would hang out at the mall all the time.
I know.
Him and his friends, like that was actually a thing. I don't think that's a thing anymore, is going to the mall.
So I'm only a few, I think about four episodes in on Stranger Things right now. And it's like, man, the mall. I used to remember going to the mall.
Makes it seem so awesome to go to the Gap.
It was fun. It was fun back in the day.
They did Steve Harrington dirty in that. But
Don't say anything. I'm not cut up yet.
I'm just saying as far as, you've seen where he works and just like his fallout from high school. They kind of did Steve Harrington dirty as far as I'm concerned with that. That's all I'm talking about. I'm not talking about any spoilers.
Okay, good. Go.
So we are discussing sports, though.
Yes.
And coming off this Antonio Brown situation, there's a lot of this on the Chilton Auto Body text line and from the 707. I feel like the whole Antonio Brown situation is scripted just for the show. Like all reality shows, they're all somewhat scripted.
We did talk about this a little earlier.
Right.
What's the likelihood of that being the case, that this is actually brought up a little bit more? It's a little bit more elaborated, a little bit more, you know, scripted for Hard Knocks.
Right. Well, I just don't.
I mean, you can't script.
I just don't think that this helmet thing is way too, it's way too, how do I put this? Like, I watched The Bachelor, right? I'm a big Bachelor guy.
Yes, you
Bachelor
are.
Bachelor in Paradise going on right now. This is not the
same. You give him my updates.
This is not the same type of drama that's going on where Blake and Zach and Hannah B. are in a little love triangle right now because they met at Stagecoach earlier, even though he, you know, made out with two girls at Stagecoach in a row that happened to be on the show.
Dang.
It's not that kind of drama. Oh, it's heating up.
Ooh.
But it's not that kind of drama. It's not that kind of drama. This goes to the NFL, like, straight up. And I don't think Antonio Brown's like, all right, yeah, we're gonna do this for Hard Knocks. Yeah, that's what's gonna happen.
Right.
Like, I just don't see this being scripted. Now, if there was like actual in-team drama, like within the organization, like itself, then maybe. But it's just, they're also, these guys are, they're professional football players. They're not actors. They're not here to make themselves into something like The Bachelor. They're not there to start their own music career. They're not there to start their modeling career. They're not there to upstart their radio hosting business, which one guy did, and I actually kind of took that as an influence. I want to get on the show so I could up my hosting opportunities, but, you know, that's a story for another day. But, look, like, it's just – this is too much of a – just – it just seems too – what's the word, Anna? Like, nuanced, I guess, is the word, maybe? Like, it's too serious. It's too weird.
It is. It's weird. But again, then again, don't forget, Antonio Brown was the guy that was also on – remember that Masked Singer show where they had, like, the guest celebrity come in?
He was also on Dancing with the Stars,
too. He was on Dancing with the Stars. So he's been out there doing all those reality shows, going out there doing all kinds of things. So I wouldn't put it past him, but at the same time, also, we know what he's been like before. It's not like it's the first time that he's been like this, that he's had some issues follow him.
What he did with the Steelers wasn't put on for any Hard Knocks cameras. That was for himself. And this helmet situation, it seems like it's a thing for himself. And I'm actually sort of just happy with the analogy that I made, because for once I actually made a decent analogy on this show. But I'm just saying, like,
you got some love on it too on the text line.
I know, and that's why I'm going to bring it up again. the Subaru Outback that I drive, the blind spot, the 2005 Subaru Outback that I got, I've been driving since I started driving, and it's in my blind spot, right? I can look in the blind spot. I'm used to it. I like the vision that I have. But then when I drove my friend's Chrysler 300 when he needed me to drive it once, I'm looking in the blind spot, and it wasn't necessarily bad, the vision there. It's just I wasn't used to that vision in that Chrysler 300. So I'm like, I'd much rather be driving my Subaru right now. And that's kind of what the comparison that I made in the analogy.
Okay, but let me add on another layer to this.
Very,
so now that I drive my Nissan Rogue that I love.
Yes.
And I do have the added technology that helps me back up, and also have the lights on the side of me that let me know if there is someone in my blind spot. My car has been adjusted to the times.
Right.
My car has added technology to make me safer. So has the NFL also added a new technology to their helmets to make them safer. And there it's like, you know what? We have these awesome lights, so you don't have to worry about your blind spots as much. Yes, you can look, you have that, but you have an extra safety precaution to help you out there.
Antonio Brown's like, look, I'm going to be that classic guy with the car. I'm going to put the right hand.
Trust myself.
I'm going to put the right hand on the back of the front seat headrest. I'm going to turn around my entire body so I can reverse out of this spot and just do it manually instead of using this electronic screen that's puts up in front of us, this blasphemous screen.
I love that blasphemous screen.
That everyone seems to enjoy and love. I'm never going to get a blasphemous screen like
that. Oh, man. Once you park in that, you've seen that parking garage and park in here.
Yes.
That thing has helped me get into those crazy parking spots.
From the 510 on the Chilton Autobody text line, wide receivers are divas. I don't know why anybody is surprised that Antonio Brown is any different. I think it's just it's not that we're surprised that there's drama happening. I just think it's the fact that it's like a helmet issue. I think that's really what's taking us aback here, because it's unprecedented what's going on with him right now.
It just it feels like it's just a downward spiral or a snow like a not a snow not snowball. What's it? Yeah, it's a snowball effect.
Yeah, snowball
basically.
Effect.
Snowball,
yeah. Starts out small,
keeps on
and gets
going
bigger.
And keeps going. And now it's like it just doesn't stop. Where does it stop from here?
Right.
Because this all comes out with Mike Mayock giving the ultimatum.
Right. So I think there's going to be a lot. That's why we're kind of lucky to be doing this show at 5 a.m. as early as it is. We're kind of reacting to the story from yesterday, and nothing came out after the fact because it's still fresh in our minds. But there's going to be more that comes out today, more that comes out tomorrow, and more that comes out Wednesday. But I'm curious to see what comes out about it today, because I feel like there's going to be some reporters or writers out there who feel like, all right, I actually heard that Antonio Brown's never going to play again. I heard he's going to retire. And then someone's going to get that out there, and it's going to be a story. I'm interested to see what happens with
this. There's just so much money to be left on the table, though.
Right.
I mean, I can't see him retiring.
Right. And it just seems like he has no other option right now.
Yeah.
That's it. There's really no
I don't see another team going
option.
For him. I don't see another team after this. This is the last big contract otherwise.
I mean, if
he proves himself.
Well, I mean, if he goes to another team, he still has to play with the helmet.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even matter which team he's on. It would be just an overall NFL situation where he just doesn't want to use the helmet. So it doesn't even matter where he would go. He'd still have to use that mandated helmet that the NFL wants him to use. But, you know, it's such a weird story, though, and I'm wondering what's going to happen. The fact that Mike Mayock came out and said this, I think it's an interesting move they came out, and he was the one that's kind of like, he's got to be all in or all out. John Gruden took so much of the heat and the flack for the Khalil Mack trade, even though it wasn't entirely him. I don't necessarily know how much of it was him, because he made it clear that he wanted Khalil Mack here. It's just there were certain other people in that organization who didn't feel like they should pay him all that money and felt like the fact that he was holding out and all that sort of stuff. I think John Gruden was the scapegoat, and right now Mike Mayock's like, all right, I'm going to play the bad cop in this situation. You focus on the team, but I'm going to be the one who actually takes care of this, because you haven't seen much of the GMs come out and just speak directly. You heard the morning show, Joe Lowndes, they were praising Farhan when he came out, and they made a really good point on this when Farhan came out and talked about the trade deadline and wrote a letter to, San Francisco right. Giants fans, a public letter. And you know what? And they made the point that you don't really see that all that often from guys who are, the president of baseball ops, the president of basketball ops. You actually do see that a little bit from Bob Myers. Bob Myers is very open with the media, but you haven't really seen it much with the Raiders going forward. John Lynch has actually been really good with the Niners going out about it. But going forward, though, with the Raiders like this, and you haven't seen much of many GMs do this. And Mike Mayock's like, hey, this is my first year. This is something that I'm really taking an issue with right now, because, I mean, you're messing, like, Antonio Brown's not only messing just like for himself and really kind of and ruining just the outlook on him and really going in the season going forward. It's affecting John Gruden, Mike Mayock, John Gruden, a little less John Gruden because he got that 10-year contract, but it's affecting Mike Mayock. It's affecting Derek Carr, guys who are really playing to keep their jobs around in a Raider uniform. They want to play for the silver and black. They want to be with this organization. And Mike Mayock wants to keep his first job ever since getting out of TV. So it's affecting everyone. And it's interesting to see what Mike Mayock's doing by coming out and saying
it is. But don't forget also that Reggie McKenzie was somebody who wasn't a very vocal guy. He was the one who also drafted him and drafted Khalil Mack. And so from what it sounded like, it was evident that he wanted to keep Khalil Mack. So I don't know where the decision came from.
Right.
And that's why I think that it was, once John Gruden came in, that's when Mack got traded. So that's where the whole thing where it's like, it's easy to point to Gruden because he's the new guy. He's the one that looks like he's taking over. It's his show now.
Right.
It's not Reggie McKenzie's team anymore.
Right.
So that's where I think everybody points to John Gruden. At the same time, though, this is going to be, it's just, when you have somebody like Antonio Brown, that type of talent that you're hoping to come in to really make a difference for this team, and you're talking about it, how it's going to affect the entire team. You have a team that we've seen it on Hard Knocks, especially. You have a young team that's hungry to play. Well, not all young, but there are young players on this team that are hungry.
Yeah.
And you got a lot of veterans there, a lot of guys who really want to prove themselves. You got the new guy, you got Vontaze Burfict, you have Richie Incognito, these guys who are trying to prove themselves this year. And they have Derek Carr, who's at that cusp right now. It's like, is he worth it? Is he not? Is he somebody that you believe in as a quarterback? So let's see what happens with Antonio Brown. That's where everything seems to be hanging by a very thin thread, and that thread right now is about to break with Antonio Brown.
It's close. We'll see what happens going forward. Just to kind of put a bow on this conversation, because we do have 49ers and Broncos tonight, but I do think that in the end, since he has no option, I think Antonio Brown's going to be there week one. I don't necessarily know if Derek Carr and him are going to be on the same page on the field chemistry-wise, but I do think he will be out there week one simply because there's no other option.
Yep.
There's no other option. So going forward, Anna, tonight with the 49ers and the Broncos, what are you going to be looking for? So we got, let's think. We got a couple of injuries that happened as far as just their backups with Sean Coleman, their swing tackle, and then Mike Person. And we asked Jennifer Lee Chan yesterday, who covers the 49ers for NBC Sports, and she said that it's unlikely that Mike Person's going to play in week one. So really, we're going to be seeing possibly Ben Garland take over the center position and a couple of six-round picks at guard position. And Joshua Garnett, he's not there. He's gotten surgery on his finger, on his dislocated finger. You might see McGlinchey and Staley in there. But with Jimmy Garoppolo, though, how much do you want to see him play tonight?
I only want to see him when Staley and McGlinchey are out there.
Right.
That's first off. You know, you have Sean Coleman who's gone. So you have Sam Young who's come in here on this team. So you have that swing tackle that's missing right now. So you have some issues with the offensive line. So
I'm going to get a lot of work tonight.
Yeah, definitely going to get some work tonight. So I don't want to see too much of Jimmy Garoppolo tonight. Just maybe, you know, maybe one series is all I really want to see him tonight. That's just to get out there, get, you know, shake off any rust and everything, see what he can do. And because one of the things that we saw this last week, he has bounced back from that 5-interception practice that he had earlier this last week.
Yeah.
But I guess one of the things that that came out of that is he just doesn't like to throw the ball away. And I want him to go out there and be confident in his throws, but I don't want to see him taking unnecessary chances. And I don't want him to risk too much, especially because you need him this season. You don't want him getting hurt again. That is the biggest issue there. I'm also really looking forward to seeing the defensive line right now because, you know, you're missing your big guys, obviously with Dee Ford, Nick Bosa, Ronald Blair. But apparently the D-line did really well against the Broncos. Now, mind you, the Broncos aren't their offensive line isn't that good anyway, it looks like, coming into this year. But I do want to see, you know, guys like Solomon Thomas out there. I want to see guys out there that are really going to make a difference and see, you know, have some good positive things to say about this defense. Because apparently the defense really had a lot of energy. Quan Alexander has been somebody who stepped up. He's somebody who has a lot of leadership skills, somebody that people are saying he might have been an expensive replacement for Reuben Foster.
Right.
And he has a lot of the great talent, but he's also really re-energized that defense. So that's something I'm really looking forward to see what this defense could bring.
You're looking for Quan Alexander. Maybe, I don't know if he'll play tonight, but going forward though, with Solomon Thomas and Eric Armstead, they're going to get that work. I think you're going to see a healthy dose of them tonight. And for me though, with Jimmy Garoppolo, there's a couple of things I want to see. For one, need to see that composure in the pocket because this is going to be the first. Now he played the joint practice against the Broncos. So that was his first that was the first time going up against an opposing defense since the Chiefs in that week 3 game where he got injured. So, I mean, obviously he's been going in practice and he's looked composed by all accounts, but I do want to see just what he's like as far as just doing the little step back, three step drop, 5-step drop, 7-step drop, what have you. I want to see how he works with that and just if he steps up in the pocket, whether he's a little skittish, how he is coming off that injury. You want to see him obviously play a clean game because the Niners had 18 penalties in this last game in week 1 of preseason. Now, some of that was on the refs because the refs were still getting their bearings too. And you saw a lot of penalties as well in the Raider game, but in both of them. But right now, though, you need to see him play a clean game on offense. And right now, with Jimmy Garoppolo going forward, I also want to see him make a couple audibles. Doesn't have to be much, because I think that's an underrated aspect of quarterbacks. It's just we look at a play, we think, okay, that only went, 2 yards? All right, that's not much. That's a bad play call. Sometimes, I mean, they're calling an audible specifically for the reason that, hey, if we would have gone with that first play, then we would have gone for negative yardage. So the 2 yards that we actually gained right there, that was actually a positive for us. So I actually just want to see, it doesn't have to be much. He doesn't have to be Peyton Manning in the playoffs out there where he's just calling an audible on every single play. But I do want to see him out there reading the defense, reading that secondary, the tough secondary that has a lot of guys returning from injury as well as Chris Harris Jr. And then that also leads me to thinking, I mean, we need to see everyone in this wide receiver core step up. Yep. But isn't this a good thing, though, Anna, that we've really been hearing, like, anytime we do hear positive stuff coming out of camp about the wide receivers. You know, we've heard good things about Deebo Samuel and Jalen Hurd even before that week 1 game. And then, obviously, Jalen Hurd came out with a couple of touchdowns. Yep. Deebo Samuel went up and made a contested catch that really not a lot of wide receivers can make. So they showed out there. And with Pettis, you really haven't seen all the good reports coming out about him. You haven't seen that he's taken over that number one role. But you know what you haven't really heard any bad things about? And that's Marquise Goodwin. And Kyle Shanahan came out and said that he's had a really good camp. And you know what? He was close to an 1,000-yard receiver. He had 1,000 all-purpose yards just because rushing, he also added a little bit to it. But in 2017, when he played a full season, he got 962 yards total. And so right now, the fact that you've heard nothing but good things from Marquise Goodwin, I mean, it seems like tonight I'm wondering if he'll get in the game and what him and Jimmy Garoppolo are going to do, because also they need to – he needs to be more versatile. He seems to be just a deep threat right now for the guys. And Marquise Goodwin, they're a young receiving core. So he's the veteran of that. So I'm curious to see how Jimmy Garoppolo and Marquise Goodwin hook up. George Kittle won't be playing in the game, I believe. So we'll be seeing the backup tight end. So that really we won't see much of. But and also how Jimmy Garoppolo does on play action, because that's one thing that Nick Mullins thrived in last year, especially toward the end of the season when he's a very good guy when it comes to play fakes, a very good player when it comes to that.
Yeah.
So that's mainly what I'm looking for with Jimmy
Garoppolo.
It's
going to be fun to watch tonight. I'm excited to see the early points of the games with that first line unit and everything. So we'll see how that all goes tonight. But it's just fun to see this football. This, you know, you see these guys stepping up here. We're getting closer every week to real football. Next week's going to be a big game, obviously, because that third game is really we're going to see a lot more of things coming together. But yeah, we're inching closer.
I mean, that's going to be a hell of a game in week three of the preseason, even though it's just preseason, because you're going to want to see those wide receivers go up against the kind of weaker secondary of the Kansas City Chiefs. And on the flip side, that weaker secondary for the 49ers, I mean, you're going to have to go up against Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Guy's kind of good. So yeah, that's going to be interesting to watch. I wonder if Joe Flacco is going to actually play tonight, because Joe Flacco just watching him on the sideline. I do like watching sideline shots of Joe Flacco, just because he kind of sometimes seems, it's like Eli Manning. He seems like a little lost, even though he's not. He's still, they're smart dudes, but when the camera goes on him, they always manage to catch them in that kind of like, moment.
I'm intrigued to see also how he is with Vic Fangio too. Because we're going to see Vic out there. And I think he had a lot of positive things to say about the 49ers as well during the weekend, saying how, you know, they're I think he said some positive stuff about Jimmy Garoppolo going out there, watching him. So
yeah.
And Richard Sherman also said that this defense is light years ahead of last year. So that's some positivity to look forward to.
And that's just as far as confidence is concerned. And Quan mm-hmm. Alexander's a big part of that with Fred Warner. But Joe Lowe and Coes are coming up next. They'll be joined by John Morosi at 7 o'clock, Steve Atwater at 8:30, and Ian Williams at 9:30. Thank you for joining us this morning, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.